Joe Biden dodges questions again as he headed to the beach after a week of turmoil. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's tax the rich dress is the gift that keeps on giving. Plus, San Francisco Mayor London Breed violates her own mask mandate. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Joe Biden because last week was so bad that Biden ended it by going on vacation again. That's right. As crisis after crisis are ongoing and the administration seems unwilling or unable to do anything about it to show some actual leadership or at the very least competence, Joe Biden was seen bike riding on vacation and ignoring questions from reporters. Here are just some of the issues that have caused Biden to go into hiding. Also, note that with so much going on, the administration ended the week with the White House canceling their White House press briefing with Jen Psaki. It's like they all are just sitting in a corner with their hands on their ears, thinking that all this bad stuff will just go away. As an example, how about that drone strike that Biden told us killed key members of ISIS-K? U.S. Marine Corps General Kenneth McKenzie, commander of U.S. Central Command, told reporters on Friday that an August 29 drone strike targeting ISIS actually killed 10 civilians in Afghanistan, not terrorists. McKenzie's announcement follows White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki and others in the administration describing the August 29 drone strike as a success amid the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan last month. So, because of Biden's incompetence, 13 Americans were killed in Afghanistan. Biden gets revenge by sending a drone that kills 10 civilians, including 7 children. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, called the operation a righteous action. Biden hasn't said a word about it. Then, we have Biden pushing vaccine boosters on people, encouraging everyone to get a booster in addition to the regular doses of the vaccine. The FDA, though, they said not so fast. An FDA panel rejected distributing booster shots to the general public, but recommended Pfizer's booster for high-risk people aged 65 and older after the Biden administration pushed to roll out a booster shot campaign on September 20th. So much for following the science. Biden and his team were encouraging an action and setting an arbitrary date for that action, and the FDA nixed the whole thing. And how about France? For the first time in history, France has recalled its ambassador to the United States for the terrible way the Biden administration handled its new submarine deal with Australia. France pulled its ambassador to the U.S. from Washington, D.C., following the announcement of a pact between Australia, the U.S., and the U.K., to give Australia nuclear-powered submarines in what is seen as an effort to counter China. The report sparked a torrent of criticisms leveled at Biden, including condemnation that the news was breaking as Biden traveled to a Delaware beach for a long weekend. So, that's the drone strike fallout, the FDA and boosters, and the fact that the Biden administration doesn't know how to engage in basic diplomacy. The French were planning to sell submarines to the Australians, but this new deal has the U.S. doing it. Clearly, the French didn't get the memo that this is what it means by America is back. And that's not even close to covering all the issues that were breaking last week. We learned that Biden's top general, Mark Milley, was engaged in possible treasonous actions with the Chinese counterpart. We have over 10,000 Haitians now in Texas as the border crisis continues, with August recording the second straight month of over 200,000 illegal border crossings. Meanwhile, Biden goes biking on the beach.
Mr. President, what will you tell Emmanuel Macron?
Mr. President, when are you going to call Macron?
As I mentioned, with all of this going down, not only did Biden bail out of town, but Jen Psaki stayed hidden from the press as well. And once again, I just have to call out all those people who said, yes, I'm a Republican, but I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. I just don't want mean tweets anymore. Now, look what we have. All right, so next we have a follow-up on AOC's Tax the Rich dress. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, let's talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her Tax the Rich dress that she wore to the Met Gala last week. As I covered on the show, AOC's actions were the height of hypocrisy and virtue signaling. She blasts the rich by attending a gala with the rich. She doesn't protest outside. She doesn't wave a sign. Nope. She hangs out all night with the wealthy liberal elite. But she does wear a dress with the words Tax the Rich on it, so she can be seen as sticking up for the little people. Well, it turns out that not only have ethics complaints been filed against her, but it turns out the dressmaker for AOC's Tax the Rich outfit has a problem with taxes. Here's the story. Tax the Rich seems to be just a slogan for some. The rich person who designed Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's slogan-wielding red carpet gown is reportedly herself a tax deadbeat. The New York Post reported over the weekend that Aurora James is a notorious tax deadbeat with unpaid debts dogging her in multiple states. Unreal. One would think that AOC, in her infinite wisdom, would find a dressmaker for a Tax the Rich dress who actually pays her taxes. Instead, not only does AOC appear to be tone deaf by enjoying an evening with the people she's supposed to be calling out, but she also seems to have no clue about the people she does business with in order to promote her power to the people message. Here's more. The 37-year-old Mrs. James, who reportedly has a net worth of $2 million, said that the swanky Tax the Rich dress's presence at the $30,000 per ticket Met Gala was a powerful message. New York and federal authorities had exactly that message for the Cultural Brokerage Agency, a corporation that Mrs. James formed in 2011 and is the parent company of her fashion brand, Brother Vellies. Citing the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance, the Post reported that in 2018 and 2019, there were three open tax warrants for failing to withhold almost $15,000 in income taxes from employees' paychecks. The company has been hit with 15 warrants in total since 2015, the Post reported. Separately, between April 2018 and April 2019, the Internal Revenue Service placed six federal liens for failing to remit more than $100,000 in employee payroll taxes. In addition to the tax dodging, the company also faced a $17,000 fine for not carrying workers' comp insurance and currently owes around $62,000 to the State Workers' Compensation Board. And just to show you how messed up our government is, Ms. James's company received over $41,000 in pandemic relief. Go figure. All right, so next, for more evidence on what the liberal elite have, their set of rules, and the rules for the rest of us, just look at this past weekend. The Democrat mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, was caught dancing and singing indoors at a club without a mask. She brushed it off by saying the event was just too important. Here's the story. London Breed, the Democrat mayor of San Francisco, dismissed criticism Friday after she was caught on video dancing without a mask indoors at the Black Cat Club, defying her own mandate. The fact is, there was something that was really monumental that occurred. That is, Tony, the original members who have not performed in public for, I believe, at least over 20 years, they are just really some of the most incredible artists in the history of this country, and the Bay Area in particular, Breed said. Can you believe this? She is saying that this musical reunion was just too important for her to obey her own mask mandate. Funny how the left will have an absolute meltdown at the sight of a maskless Trump rally, but they have no problem attending their own events without a mask or social distancing. Here's more from ABC's Channel 7 in San Francisco.
San Francisco's health order clearly states masks must be worn inside unless actively eating or drinking.
I was eating and drinking.
We didn't see you actively eating or drinking in that moment.
So when you go to a restaurant, do you sip and put your mask on, sip and put your mask on? The reality is what we're asking people to do is go out, enjoy our city, but also be mindful that COVID is still out there.
Wow. So she's talking about eating and drinking, eating and drinking, but she wasn't eating or drinking in this clip.
Oh, help me tonight. What time is it? On your side, available. So come and play. Give me a clue.
Yep. According to Breed, it's rules for thee, but not for me. And this isn't the only incident. This weekend, the Emmys hosted maskless celebrities inside a packed room. No social distancing, no masks. And remember, these rules in many areas of California are that you have to wear masks indoors, even if you're vaccinated. The other outrageous practice that we are seeing, as we witnessed in pictures from the Met Gala last week and the Emmys this weekend, is that celebrities can gather with no masks, but the service staff standing next to them have to have masks on. No science there, just a ton of liberal elitism. All right, next, some thanks has to go out to the U.S. Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough, who likely single-handedly stopped a Democrat push for amnesty for illegal aliens to be voted into law. The Senate Democrats tried to slip an amnesty provision into their budget reconciliation bill, a bill that is not subject to filibuster and only needs a simple majority to pass. McDonough said, "I don't think so." Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough has reportedly ruled that Democrats' plan to slip a massive amnesty for millions of illegal aliens into a budget reconciliation package is outside the scope of budgetary matters, likely crushing the plan. On Sunday evening, McDonough ruled the amnesty plan can likely not be included in a budget reconciliation package, a filibuster-proof maneuver that only needs majority support in the Senate. Changing the law to clear the way to lawful permanent resident status is tremendous and enduring policy change that dwarfs its budgetary impact, McDonough wrote in her decision rejecting the amnesty's inclusion. That's right. Amnesty provisions are not part of the budget reconciliation process. Amnesty is a major policy change that needs to go through the full and proper legislative process. However, the Democrats decided to pursue this route, just hoping it would sneak in. And here's more. As part of their $3.5 trillion budget, Democrats for months had hoped to slip an amnesty for illegal aliens enrolled and eligible for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals DACA program. Those employed on the United States farms, those with temporary protected status, and those deemed essential workers. In August, a budget resolution framework put forth by Democrats revealed the amnesty would cost American taxpayers at least $107 billion. All along, though, Democrats and President Joe Biden were relying on McDonough to approve the amnesty's inclusion in a reconciliation package because they lacked the votes to pass the plan using standard House and Senate rules. So there you go, saved by one person. And it just shows how important it is to take back control of the House and Senate, because the Democrats will stop at nothing to advance their agenda. All right, friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search on my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Wednesday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberly. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.